very amusing. Your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and not to toot my own horn, but I really feel like I nailed that intro. The hello was like, sometimes I, you know, I cascade down and I don't hit all the notes. I'm just blabbing up here. But that time I really, I felt like it was tonally correct. My chorus days from high school have taught me well. Anyway, as you know, today is a Gab Sesh episode. I've been leaving notes over the past 2 weeks being like, oh, don't forget to mention that. Oh, don't forget to mention that. We have a lot to get into. We have a lot to get into today, but the things that are top of mind that I need to tell you about are that I had friends over to play dominoes last night. I also learned how to play Mahjong recently, which we will, I'm writing it down now. We have to talk about it soon. Mahjong, it's the craze among adult women. Anyway, I had my friends over to play dominoes last night, and they were all talking to me about protein intake. I live in West Hollywood. Also, anywhere now, people are very obsessed with protein. And I didn't realize a can of tuna is 40 grams of protein. Did you know that? I'm just out here eating tuna salad being like, wow, I should eat something more responsible than like tuna salad. Tuna salad's so much protein. I didn't know I was being healthy. I was being like a fit person without realizing. I was just walking in a circle eating a tuna salad. Fantastic. Also, I make my tuna salad. Okay, this is, if you don't like this, please listen to the rest of the episode. I'm not going to talk about it the whole time. I make my tuna salad. I don't know why I started doing this. I don't know who told me this was legal or okay, but I started making it with pickles and green olives. I will chop up pickles and then chop up Casaville Toronto olives, which are my favorite, or I'll just get like a regular old green olive, chop them up, chop up a scallion, because long story short, tummy stuff, I can't really have onions right now. I will chop those up and I will put those in the tuna salad, and it's fantastic. It's really fantastic. I know there was this thing that came out, I don't know if you saw this online, you saw it and you know what I'm talking about. If you didn't, you didn't. Nicholas Sparks, the author, made a chicken salad with like a ton of Splenda, like so much Splenda. And that blew my mind, because putting Splenda in chicken salad sounded like an alien concept. But now I'm putting all these random things in my tuna salad and it's pretty good. I highly recommend you try it. And if you are horrified, I will never speak of it again. But it's really good. You should try it. You should try it. Anyway, we are going to gab. We're going to gab about more than pickles, more than tuna, more than dominoes, but we might come back to dominoes. In this week's episode, there's so much to talk about. There's been Disney news. There's life stuff. There's an update on like maybe I'm getting better at being a functioning member in society. I'm getting good at scheduling. Stick around. We're going to talk about it. It's going to be great. It's like we're hanging out. It's like we're on a phone call, except I never come up for air. That's kind of what a podcast is. Stick around and I will see you on the other side. Becky!
Carly!
We are together, everyone. We are together aboard the Disney Destiny. We are using these newfangled mics that I purchased for this moment, basically.
This is
because
awesome.
We had that mic fail the other time
we
at Disneyland.
We did.
You're so sweet to say we. Becky's joining in on the failure. It was all me.
We are in this together, girl. We are always in this together. This is how this works. You and I holding hands,
yes,
and trying to make mics work.
We're like the end of Rogue One, you and I.
Precisely.
But in a much happier setting, because we are talking about saving money on a future vacation.
Saving money and on what is supposed to be or going to be an amazing vacation as we sit in the location we're in.
Yeah. I mean, y'all are going to hear about it when you hear this, yeah, but it's dope. It is a good show.
Yep. Oh, wow.
But you have some money-saving stuff for us, don't you?
We always do, don't
I
we?
I love it. You truly float in. Yeah. You float in and you're like, want to save money on a trip? I got you. I'll do the work. I'll go on go.com. I don't mind.
And the hard part is there's so many right now. And I have to warn you, it's going to get even better, because this little known thing called Black Friday is right around the corner, and suppliers right now are already starting to leak what to look forward to. So I have a little bit of that for you in a second too. First of all, let's start with the new one that just came out, which is the Disney Plus subscribers. If you're enrolled in their Disney Plus perks, now it is different. You have to actually enroll in the perks program, but you can get a special 3-day, 3-park ticket to select theme parks for starting at $109 per day.
Ooh!
Which, that's a big deal, of
that's
course.
A big,
so
oh, that's a big deal.
If you're a Disney Plus subscriber and you get into Disney Perks, and of course, they don't just do tickets there. Disney Perks allows for all kinds of discounts. So if you're not subscribed yet, do so, because that'll give you one. There are a couple of opportunities too with that same package. It's the dates are January 12th to May 22nd that you can actually use those. But you can also upgrade to their stay and play package, which also gets you an additional discount. So perks there for you.
Heck yeah.
That's number one. Number two, we still have Walt Disney World up on the save up to $250 per night on a 4-night, 4-day room and ticket package. $250 per night.
That's a lot of money. That's cold hard cash.
Exactly. And it is still available right now. And that's going to be available for most days, February 22nd, all the way to July 25th. So,
we're out here saving money in summer.
You're saving money in summer. And this is unusual. We don't usually see the summer come out until January and sometimes February. So for it to be available now, you can get ahead of it and get the hotel that you want.
Summer vacation is holiday gift. Bing, bang, boom, you're done.
Exactly. So that's one of those things. Holiday gifts, you get it for your family, of course, but you get to go too. So it's actually a gift for yourself.
Thank you so much, Becky. We have so much more in store in the next break. So everybody, stick around.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here! Right now, score up to 80% off everything home. These are our best deals of the year. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Welcome back to our Gab Sesh episode, and I gotta tell you, I've had a unique mix in my body of sugar and caffeine and lack of water, and I kind of feel like I'm floating. I kind of feel like I'm floating because never do I have a Butterfinger before 10 a.m., and today I did. Why? Because it was in the car. That was it. I guess all it takes for me to just abandon all nutrition in my life is just to be close to a Butterfinger. It was in the car, and I was like, oh yeah, now's an appropriate time to have it because it's Halloween. Today is Halloween. I know you're listening to this after Halloween, and you're probably already in the holiday mode for wintertime, but it's Halloween. I gotta talk a little about Halloween because I haven't told you about it yet, and this is a Gab Sesh episode. I'm also recording this video. Will it ever see the light of day? I don't know. Also, I think it froze. I don't really know how to do this. Oh yeah, it paused. Why did it pause? I'm running it through my watch. Oh no, I don't want to be at 0.5%. Okay, there we go. Whoa. Did you know you can like fully use your Apple Watch as a full-blown remote for recording a podcast, which is something you do professionally and should have done a really, really long time ago and never do because it's just really burdensome to think about how now you have to be a video editor when you majored in news editorial journalism so you could hopefully work in a newspaper like the Chicago Tribune or a magazine in New York City. And then eventually writing just kind of stopped becoming a job in the way that you anticipated. So you pivoted and pivoted again. And now your job is just speaking to a microphone to your friends. And it's really great. But now you also have to know how to record that and edit it. And you still don't know how. So you record things and they just live in your phone and you feel really bad about it. Every month you feel worse and worse and worse. But this time you're like, this time it'll be different. This time I think I'll actually do it. Do you ever feel like that? Because I sure do. I told you I had a lot of sugar. Okay. We're just doing our best today. Anyway, I am running this off my Apple Watch. It is filming. If you see this, give me a round of applause because it means I actually saw something through, something we will talk about later today in today's episode, because there was a lot of like life scheduling, getting things done-ish stuff that I really want to talk to you later on in the episode. But first, we're going to talk fun stuff. We're going to do a little bit of Halloween, even though the malls are like fully playing Christmas music already. We got to just get a little bit in. We got to get a little bit in. I am talking to you in the afternoon of Halloween, just like right before we go out trick-or-treating, and I am dressing Pearl as Cinderella. She does not know it. She knows she has a surprise costume coming after her nap. I am going to be Fairy Godmother. Ben is going to be Prince Charming, and this was all kind of a ruse so that I could buy the Gus Gus plush purse off HalloweenCostumes.com. By the way, great plush purse. It was, I think, $39. Very little. A little zipper doesn't hold a lot, but it looks like Gus Gus. It looks like a stuffed animal and it has an adjustable strap. So when Pearl wants to wear it, she can wear it crossbody, no problem. When I want to wear a crossbody, I can do that as well. That's economical, you know? Two people in a household sharing a Gus Gus purse? That's really what it's all about. You don't want to buy something you're never going to use again, and this Gus Gus purse I am going to use again. The fairy godmother, listen, I keep saying I don't like costumes, but then I keep seeing these women in witch hats, and I'm kind of like, that's what I want. Next year, I want to have a witch hat, and I want to have a witchy outfit that is clothing I can wear another time, but I really am craving a witch hat in a way I didn't anticipate, because remember, I told you I don't like to wear a costume. So that has been tempting to me. But Fairy Godmother, I put it on and was like, well, it's only a few hours. I just really don't feel like myself in it. I feel weird. And I know that's the point of a costume, is that you feel like someone else, but it's just not for me. It will never be for me. Once I get that witch hat on, though, it might be a different story. But I saw, like, I took Pearl to school today and I saw this mom and her kid was Spider-Man. And I think she was maybe, honestly, I don't know. It was either Gwen Stacy or Madame Web. I think she might have been Madame Web because she had a red, I think it was like reddish hair, and then had like a cool trench coat on. And I'm like, whoa, she looks cool and she's in a costume. But I can't achieve that. Like, the last time I wore a wig was on Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser, and I looked weird. Like, it just looked weird to see me without glasses in a purple wig. I thought it would be like fun and I'd feel like I was in space, but I didn't feel like that. I just felt, I don't know. It felt alien to me, one might say. But I'm not going to complain about costumes the whole time. We are past Halloween in real life anyway. But I wanted to tell you about our trip to Disneyland. I usually like to go to Disneyland on Halloween, but now that I have a child, that's like fully off the table. That's just not happening anymore. So we went the day before. It was a little busy, but not in a way that really impeded our day or our ability to do anything we wanted to do. Our priorities were, because remember, if you're going with a child to a theme park, you always want to know your priorities in advance. Our priorities were really meet Mickey. My kid really wanted to meet Mickey. Listen, we've come a long way. We've come a long way from her not wanting to go anywhere near a character. Very exciting. Our priorities were to meet Mickey. I really wanted to see the Mickey, I think it's called Mickey Trick or Treat, basically what the Disney Junior show is at the moment. We got to see that over at Disney California Adventure, which was fantastic. Pearl demanded ice cream. My girl's order is sprinkles on the bottom, scoop of strawberry ice cream, whipped cream on top. We got that done. She really wanted to go on Small World, but I forgot it closed. I actually remembered in a panic, because sometimes my brain does work. I was in a manicure the day before and was like, it was like a spirit had entered my body and it was like, Small World is closed on October 30th. Like, it just came out of nowhere and I remembered it. And so I had to break the news to her that we weren't going on Small World, which was fine because we ended up going on stuff we never go on. We've kind of gotten in a little routine of easy rides to get on that we tend to do when we're at Disneyland. And we went on Astro Orbiter. I guess it was still like stuck in my head from when I went by myself to Disney World a week ago. So we went on Astro Orbiter, waited like a half an hour. It was so fun. That ride really hits with kids. It is hard. Again, it's one of those things like getting out of Space Mountain when you're like, oh, my bones, I'm getting old. Getting in there and then lifting, because you have to sit and then you lift a kid kind of like up and over and into your lap from you sitting in there. I guess you could let your kid go in first, but it's tricky. Anyway, a physical accomplishment. I'm very proud of myself. The only workout I've done this week, so it counts for something. I'm going to take it and run with it. Not physically, because I haven't worked out this week. I haven't had time. But you know what I mean. And then Dumbo, even though like In the Blazing Sun, yikes, was so fun. I totally forgot there's a water feature to that ride. I completely, completely forgot. And so it was nice to like do Dumbo, do that, do the carousel. We had a nice little Halloween day. I don't even think we had any Halloween treats because of those cookies I loved from Harbor Galley, the seasonal ones sold out a few days earlier, according to the internet. I haven't fact checked it, but I saw enough funny videos where I'm like, I'm gonna assume it's true, because if people wanted to get the cookies and they're sold out, if their cookies aren't there, then they're sold out. But those were delicious and I didn't have them. I got a popcorn, which is pretty good. I'll give it a B. Sometimes it's better, sometimes it's worse. After I bought the popcorn, also, if anyone's a Disneyland cast member or was and knows the answer to this, please call the Churros hotline. I want to know. After I bought the popcorn, it looked fresh. Like, I saw them popping. It might have been the caramel corn because it was the booth at DCA. But I saw them pop popcorn and then I went back like 10 minutes later to get popcorn. I got a popcorn. It seemed somewhat warm. I was like, cool, popcorn. And then as I walked away with my new $6.50 popcorn, yeah, $6.50 is what it costs to get popcorn at Disneyland right now. As I walked away with it, I noticed them taking all the popcorn out of the big bin and shoving it into like a big plastic box, which makes me think like, did I get old popcorn? Was it like the time where they're like, oh, it's not fresh anymore, we got to get rid of it? I don't know. I'm curious. If you know the answer to that, please let me know. But it was fine. It was a great Disneyland day. And yeah, right now I'm really just taking a little siesta from the Halloween hubbub before we go trick-or-treating tonight, and I get a fat stash of candy that I get to go through when my kid's asleep. I always heard that that was a fun part of parenting, and I'm going to really live it up this year. Right now I'm wearing, I don't know if you can see. Can you see? I don't know if you can see. Okay. Also, I don't even know if I'm ever going to publish this video, but if you can't see, I'm wearing these silk shorts because I tried a pair on at Reformation, and I was like, oh, I want to, I don't know if I'm a silk short person. I was kind of in between sizes. I didn't know what to do. And then this influencer I like posted a link to this pair, and I was like, okay. And so I ordered it, and it was Amazon, and I never order anything on Amazon, anything clothing. I never do. I'm like, oh, Amazon, bleh. So I ordered these shorts. They come. I try them on, and I'm like, I really don't like these. The laces, let me see if I can, the lace is only in the front and not the back. They're like silky little jammy shorts. Lace is only on the front, not on the back. And I'm like, I wanted lace to go all the way around. And so I returned them. And when I returned them, they said, psych, you get to keep them now. This is a gift from the cosmos. We've just decided that you get to own these shorts for free. And I was like, well, when they were $20, I was like, nah, I don't need them. But now that they're free, I'm wearing them every day. Okay. I can't resist a bargain. I didn't do this intentionally. I fully returned them, not expecting to net out at free short. But now that they're free, I'm kind of low-key obsessed with them. Let me see if I can jump for the video. It won't work. But they're kind of comfy, and now I'm definitely going to go back to Reformation and buy the real ones because I've been shopping here and there. Listen, I've been shopping for new clothes, and I'm finding it really hard to commit to nice things. I just feel like even almost having a three-year-old, being truly like 3.5 years out of starting the child journey, I just still don't know my size, my interests, my lifestyle, if things I wear will be covered in food, if they won't be, what do I save those nice things for when I go out, which means I don't wear them anymore, which means that the things I wear every day are the clothes I might not prefer. It's too much to think about as a parent. And so I'm trying to find only buy things that are kind of, I have these standards that I'm kind of shopping by these days. Is it fun? If it's not fun, I don't want it. If it's not fun, I don't care. Because even if something is itchy, uncomfy, like fragile, if it's fun, fun wins out over everything. It has to be fun. If it's not fun, what's the point? That's basically my life mantra at this point. If it's not fun, why would I be doing it? Why would I be wearing it? And sometimes there are things I need, like functional things, but I don't own those and I never want to shop for them, which is why it never happens. Because if it's not fun, I don't want to be wearing it. The other thing is, if things, basically it needs to feel authentic on my body. And I know that's a strange way to put it, but I will put on a sweater and it can be itchy and I can just be like, oh, it's so itchy. But if it's fun, if it feels me, I'm going to keep it. There's a sweater I just ordered from Zara and it is polyester and wool, which is the devil's combo, okay? That's not really something you want to be putting on your body when you're sensitive to what things feel like. But I put it on and was like, this is me. This feels like me. It is this brown kind of, it's like knit. It's kind of see-through, not see-through. It has little holes and it's floral and it's brown and it's orange. And it's just so, it gives me like the 70s limited to inflatable couch vibe that I'm seeking out. You know what I mean? That like retro, like the 70s that you imagined when you were a kid in the 2000s, in the 90s, 2000s, that's what this sweater is giving me. And even though the material couldn't be worse and I'm going to be uncomfy in it the whole time, I'm going to be happy because it's fun and it's authentic to me. And the third thing that I'm looking for when I'm shopping is this good enough? A lot of times I'll shop and be like, that's a cool sweater, that's a cool shirt, that's cool jeans, but I only really want one, maybe two things in this category. I don't want my closet to be full of stuff I don't wear anymore. So is this going to take me the long haul? Like, is this, if I find a new version of this, am I going to be like, I wish I had this better pair? Or like, oh, I wish I had this different version of it. I really need to be like, I am so happy with this that if another one pops up, I don't care because I love this one. That is how I ended up buying this very cute striped sweater, also from the Zara Disney collaboration that they did with Harry Lambert. It was kind of slept on because everyone was focusing on the Disney stuff. But this cardigan, it's a striped cardigan. Again, it's a little itchy, but it's authentic to me. And I just put it on and was like, I don't need another striped cardigan ever. Like, this is the striped cardigan. That's it. And I found these little niche holes in my wardrobe that I have to fill with different things. And when I fill them, like when I just drop that Tetris square in the right slot, it makes getting dressed so much easier. I really needed a new pair of jeans that were like a little funky, but a basic. They were fun, they're authentic to me, but they're still like, they're filling that spot. And there's the barrel jeans that I got when I talked about them in the Caribe Royale episode. Those jeans I've been wearing all the time, and they have made pairing them with tops and shirts and other things I haven't quite figured out how to style together. It has brought everything together because they filled these little gaps in my wardrobe, and it's been really fun to get dressed again just because I filled those little gaps. Like, I knew I needed new sneakers. It's something I put off forever. It just put it off for so long. But then I walked over to the Adidas store. You had a pair of like animal print brown sneakers with these red orange laces. And I'm like, you know what? That's fun. That's authentic to me. And if I have a fun sneaker, I have a black and white sneakers at home. Like, this is a fun sneaker. This really fills a void in my wardrobe I don't have. And I've been wearing them almost every day. And they, again, with the other pieces in my wardrobe that fill these gaps, I now really feel like I'm dressing like myself years after being my body just being a vessel for someone else. Like, it really feels different and fun. And I just recommend maybe setting your own, kind of not goals, but like setting your own shopping rules to really weed out what you do and don't need. Now, did that apply to these Amazon silk shorts that I got for $0? No, it did not. But sometimes you get a gift from the heavens that you didn't expect, and you just gotta ride with it. Also, we are not going to talk about shopping for the entirety of this podcast. This wasn't even something I had planned on discussing. We were just supposed to be talking about Halloween at the start, and I was going to jump to another topic. But I'm off on a tangent. I'm full of Butterfinger for breakfast, baby! So we're going with it. The last thing I want to say is that this mentality has also served me so well for makeup. If you are like me, you have a drawer in your bathroom that is so much makeup, but if it's unused and it costs money, you feel bad about throwing it out. Because like clothes and shoes, like a lot of that stuff, you don't wear it anymore, you can sell it. You can donate it. Used makeup is literal garbage if you don't use it. So my makeup drawer is always filled with this stuff that I feel bad for spending money on. I bought two concealers in the wrong color at Sephora, and it's been so long, I can't return one. I'm stuck with it. So what am I gonna do? Throw it out like a normal person? No, I'm gonna wear all of that concealer, even though it makes my under eyes look kind of bright yellow. I'm just gonna power through. So now, I use my shopping for clothes mentality for shopping for beauty products. If I have a mascara, I don't need another mascara. I don't need another mascara. I have a black mascara, and then I have a brown mascara. I have the brown mascara on the way because I went into Credo because they had a 20% off sale. I had to get a gift for a friend, and I found this mascara that they said is good for sensitive eyes because I have very sensitive eyes, as you can see in this video. If you are watching, oh, and if I ever post it, it's just all my makeup melts down my face. So I got this brown mascara. This is a tangent. You don't have to know about this. And long story short, I ended up with a brown mascara and a waterproof brown mascara. And that is it's making me a little uncomfortable because I really like to have a slimmed down beauty routine. I like to have just the essentials. And I used to be completely different. I used to love to have all these different colors and all these different things. And it's kind of like efficiency in that drawer has emerged as really important to me. I have a few versions of things. I have like this blush. I have that blush. I am powering through the things I don't need and using them as much as I can, because again, I can't throw out a makeup. It's not like the clothes. It stresses me out. It's just flushing money down the drain. So I am powering through. I'm doing my best, and I'm really hoping to like emerge out the other side with this closet of things I wear and love and a makeup drawer of just the things that I use. And I'm getting there, and it's feeling real good. But that is not what we are here to talk about today, because I have a laundry list of things that I really want to gab with all of you about, starting with TV shows I have been watching. Since we last spoke, I have finished Buffy. I have finished the entire series of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and I get it now. It's kind of like becoming a fish fan or becoming a parent. Like, you were something else before, and now you are on the inside. Now you understand what people are saying when they're like, Angel, Spike. Like, you get it. You get what that means. Before, those were just words. Now there's a whole universe, a whole life that I know about. I absolutely loved it. I also saved myself from reading about Joss Whedon until after, simply because, not because I didn't want to know about all of the bad things that people had to say about working with him, but because anytime I looked up a Joss Whedon story, I accidentally spoiled me for Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Angel, which I'm still watching. I'm on season 3. I heard season 4 is bad. Charisma Carpenter said that at a panel that I watched on YouTube. Yeah, I'm in pretty deep, but I heard from my friend that season 5, I believe, comes around and is actually good. So I'm going to power through Angel. But whenever I would go to like look up Buffy stuff, it's just spoilers everywhere, even in all the Joss stories, because that's how you find out a certain character was written out of a certain show. I'm not going to finish that sentence so that nothing is spoiled for anyone else, but you find out things that you, it's too early to find out. So I've only been able to read some stuff. I know it's bad. I know it's dark, and I know it's worth mentioning, but also it's a shockingly progressive show. The LGBT representation on the show is excellent. It stars multiple women. Like, this is like Bechdel test beyond. Like, these women are the stars of the show, and it's strong, powerful women with different powers. It's really great. I loved it. I'm not usually in this space, and I'm so obsessed that I'm like, what do you mean all the stars are going to be at a convention? what do you mean James Marsden is going to be in Spokane, Washington? Like, I'm just all in. And I got to say, it's really interesting to watch a cult favorite show like this so long after it's been on the air, not just because the vehicle by which I'm watching is on an app, it's on Hulu, and the aspect ratio has changed, so you can fully see like boom mics and floodlights and stuff in the background, which I'm so charmed by, because I'll be watching a graveyard scene and be like, wow, I'm tapped in. And then you'll just see a person who works there and you're like, oh, movie magic. I know the people who created are probably furious that you can see stuff in the way it's cut, but I'm delighted by it. But the real reason why it's so fun to watch a show like this that was so popular now is because of, like I mentioned, the convention circuit. You can go almost any month and find the stars of shows like this in person. They will meet you. They will take photos with you. You can hear them talk on a panel. And that's something I didn't grow up with. That's something that I'm not used to. A lot of the stuff I watch, they're not, listen, for all the network sitcoms I watch, they're not like going to panels and hanging out and doing photo ops. It's really in this fan space. And Buffy is a show that is way in that, which I didn't even realize. And it's fascinating to me. What a great time to be passionate about stories and television and comics and like be able to interact with these people. I think it's fascinating. And if you haven't watched Buffy, you absolutely should. Also, I'm realizing, do you ever hear that noise in the background of the podcast? And you're like, what is that? That's my rings. I thought it was my bracelet. It's my rings. I'm taking one off and we're going to see if that makes it better. But beyond Buffy, me alone in my kitchen while I'm making my sad dinners, is back to watching every sitcom that exists on the air. It is sitcom season. It is fall. I am thriving. That Hulu autoplay is just really carrying me through to just a cascading field of joy. I'm watching Ghosts. Gotta be watching Ghosts. I'm watching season 2 of Matlock. Oh yeah, I've seen every episode of Matlock. And my review is, Jason Ritter, underutilized. He's in all the episodes, but he's not featured enough. And he's such a talented actor, and he's so charismatic, and we just need more of him. High Potential. I watch every episode of High Potential. Season 2 is really good. Like, season 1 was okay. Season 1 was pretty good. Season 2, like, the writing is tight. The storylines are great. And also, I was watching High Potential a few days ago, and I watched it, and oh, who's that? My friend Stephanie Stiles just appearing in the credits. And I texted her and was like, you're at High Potential this week. And I was just like, I don't think we knew that it was happening. Like, it was just so exciting. It was just so exciting to see her name in the credits. She was on the show. Like, do you know how fun it is to see your friends on TV? And I know you know my best friend Alex is on St. Dennis Medical. Like, to see my friends on television is something that my pea-sized brain can't handle. Like, I didn't grow up in LA. I'm not used to Hollywood. I'm not used to working actors on television being people I interact with in my daily life, because here it's just a job. It's just like a craft that people do, like any other job. But then I go home and I'm truly the only person in LA just sucking down all network television. I'm watching everything, okay? I am well-versed. I watched all of Shifting Gears in about 70 hours, okay? Nobody else in West Hollywood is doing that, I can assure you. By the way, Sean William Scott's on it. He's great. But I just can't believe that people in my life appear on the television, and not in like a oh, talent way. It's more like, oh my gosh, I still believe these shows are real. Like, I still believe these shows are, they're creating these environments that actually exist. Like, they're storytelling to such a high level that I just always think it's real. And then someone that I like, I don't know, like go to the gym with, or again, brought to Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser appears on screen, and I scream every time. Every time I have a friend who appears on TV, I scream, because these aren't like, there's like acquaintances I know who will appear and stuff, and like, I'm not going to talk about that. These are close friends of mine, and then they're like on TV someone else, and I'm also like, hi, what are you, like, my brain is like, what are you doing here? I didn't know you're going to be here. You didn't tell me you were going to be at this hospital. Like, it's just so interesting, and I love it. I love it so much. It's like the joy of my life to watch my little shows and then see someone I love on it. It's just, I support them all so much, and I'm so amazed by their talent, and it's just really special. So yeah, make sure to watch High Potential. See Steph on there. She's on another episode that they're taking a break and coming back in January, and I'm kind of like, bros, you're taking off November and December. I need my Caitlin Olsen, but okay. So it comes back in January, and then St. Dennis, I actually don't know when it's back, but Alex is in season two. Check it out. Root her on. We love it. She's also going to be in something else, but I can't talk about that. So stay tuned. You'll see me yell about it on the internet when it's time. I'm caught up on season 8 of The Neighborhood. Again, nobody else in LA is saying that. I'm watching Abbott Elementary. There's another one I'm watching, but oh, that's what I wanted to mention. Taryn Killam, guest of the pod, has a new show coming out. It's called Stumble. It's about, I believe it's junior college cheerleading. I think it's on NBC. It looks great. Highly recommend blindly. Just because, have you ever seen Taryn Killam in anything bad? You haven't, because it's impossible. He makes everything better. He's like the actor equivalent of that flaky, expensive sea salt. He makes everything better. So don't miss that. I will truly be seeing the first episode the second it drops. I'm not just going to watch it on demand on Hulu. I'm going to be, or whatever, it's on Peacock probably. I'm not just going to be watching it on demand. I'm going to be doing the little record button so you watch it with the ads right when it comes out, because I love Taryn's work. And I'm so grateful that he came on the podcast. We got to get him back. We got to get him back. We got to get Taryn back. Some other things I want to discuss with you that I am obsessed with right now. I don't know if the people in your life who love you have told you what Fruit Riot is, but let's just say that I have talked to 2 to 3 groups of friends over the past week, and I said, oh my God, do you know what Fruit Riot is? And they went, yeah, of course. And I'm like, y'all didn't tell me about this? You didn't think it was important to tell me about the greatest achievement in frozen food ever made? Let me tell you what Fruit Riot is. Fruit Riot is frozen fruit, mangoes, grapes. I think they have some other fruits that they've chosen, but I've only had mango and grape. Wrapped in sour candy sugar. Oh, is your mouth salivating? I bet it is. But wait, because it's even better than that. The sour candy coating is flavored. It's flavored. The bag of frozen grapes has 3 different flavors in it. It's like lemon lime, something else and something else. I don't know. I can't tell the difference between them, honestly, but they're all a little different. They're so good. And then it's like real grapes. Like some are red, some are green, some are big, some are small. You don't know what you're going to get, because as the bag says, they're like, nature's not uniform. They're real grapes. And then the mango. Oh, the Fruit Riot frozen mango. And it's, I think, strawberry peach coated frozen mango. So you have a frozen piece of fruit. Healthy, yum, delicious. Nature's candy. And then they wrap it in like the most potent sour sugar. And you take a bite of it. It stays, you keep it frozen. You take a bite of it and it's like, oh, like I ate it and was like, that's all I'm going to think about for the next 6 days. It truly sticks in your mind where after dinner, I'm like, oh, it's Fruit Riot time. Like I'm getting ready. I'm pulling open that freezer being like, we're about to have a party for me of 3 to 4 pieces of fruit that will blow my mind. Can't recommend it enough. Fantastic. And to all my friends who knew about Fruit Riot and didn't tell me, friendship over. Friendship over. But one thing a friend did, my friend Alex from St. Dennis, which I just told you about, one thing that was told to me a long time ago and I fully slept on is true lime. Do you know what true lime is? True lime is this little packet, like a Splenda packet. It's a little packet of dehydrated lime and like citric acid. Is that the same thing? I don't know what's in there, but you rip it open, dump it in a seltzer and water and Diet Coke, and it makes it taste potent and limey. But it's made of nothing. It's like, I don't say this in a very 90s count your calories way. It's 0 calories because it's like, it's dust. It's nothing. And you put it in and I'm telling you, your Diet Coke goes from like pretty good to top of the pyramid, incredible in seconds. And my friend Alex gave me a little pouch of this, I want to say like a year ago, and it's been kicking around in my purse since then. Okay, it's been in there for a while. It's been in there for an embarrassing amount of time. And yet I went to Fair Oaks Pharmacy like a week and a half ago. A week ago? Probably a week ago. I went to Fair Oaks Pharmacy. I got a Diet Coke and I was like, oh, this is the time. Like, this is the moment I'm going to put it in a Diet Coke. And I whipped it out in front of everyone and I ripped it open and I dumped it in. And it was a little chunky because it was definitely past its prime. It's quite old. It's been in my purse for over a year, as I said. But it was excellent. So much so that I immediately bought a box of it. And now I bring it everywhere. It's in my car. It's in my bags. At night when I'm just having a LaCroix unflavored at home, if you follow me on Instagram, you know why I have the unflavored. It's the superior LaCroix, okay? Superior one. I like rip open the little packet and I dump it in, and it is better than lime flavored seltzer. I am telling you, if you are like a Spindrift person, you have to try this stuff out. It is so good. It is so good. And I don't know if this is technically something I'm obsessed with or if it's more just something that's existing in my purview, but a few weeks ago I took a Mahjong lesson with friends. Oh yeah, I'm starting to get a lot of wrinkles. My body hurts when I wake up in the morning, and I'm playing Mahjong. Signs you might be turning into an old lady. But I took a lesson from, what was her name? Marvelous Miss Maj, I believe was her name. She's Los Angeles based. It was excellent. It is like a heavy learning curve. It is pretty confusing, but I loved it. I really want to get good at it. I don't know if I can commit enough to actually get good, because here's the deal. Mahjong is like a fun game, but it actually, your brain has to be really thinking about, you're like operating on many, many levels at once. If you've played it before, you know what I'm talking about. It's like, you got to be thinking, what are other people doing? What are you doing? What are you going to do? What could be next? Like, you there's so many layers of thinking to it that it's really a mental exercise. But I also just joined a book club. I said yes. My friend Rebecca had a book club. And Rebecca is low-key a genius. Rebecca herself is a talented author. And so I was like, an author inviting me to a book club? That's like a big deal, okay? That's like a big deal. I was honored that she thought I knew how to read. Truly honored. Again, you know, the only book I've read the past few years until now was Jessica Radloff's Big Bang Theory book, which, by the way, I have multiple copies of it because it's my favorite book in the world. I'm using it currently as my mic stand with my friend's other books. I have my friend Amy's comedy compilation book, Notes from the Bathroom Line. I have Maddie Kahn's book. What is Maddie's book called again? Young and Restless. And I have The Big Bang Theory, Oral History by Jessica Radloff. I literally at book club was like, this is the only book I read. It's like a transcript. It's amazing. It's the best journalism I've ever seen. Like, I'm obsessed with it. But I signed up. We read Elizabeth Gilbert's new book. Kind of a stinker. Not great, but we listen, they're a book club and they do this monthly. And so now I'm a part of it and I'm so excited to be a part of it. But I didn't realize, like, I was like, heck yeah, I'm coming to the next one. Like, it's a fun party. It's a lively conversation. We have snacks. We actually chat about the book, which is very fun. The other people in it are so interesting and like lively. Like, it truly was the best night. And I'm like, yeah, I'm coming back in a month. But now that I'm home, I'm like, oh no, I got to read a book. I got to read another book. And I think the next one is pretty long. I don't remember the name of it, but I think it's pretty, pretty long. And there is a chance I talked about this on the podcast, because now I'm thinking, did I? I don't know. My brain is Butterfinger. What can I say? Regardless, I am going to read this book. And it means that's the Mahjong space in my brain. That's like the Mahjong space. So I can only have one. Maybe once I finish reading all back to Mahjong. But if you've ever thought about playing Mahjong, it's pretty rad. And also, I didn't know about this. Mahjong is like a nonprofit organization. They're based out of the East Coast. They have these, like, there's different game, like, oh God, if you play, I'm so sorry if I get this lingo wrong. There's like different hands you can have. It's basically like, what if poker changed every year? Like, what if the suites and like the two of a kind, three of a kind, what if all of that changed every freaking year? And to know what it is, you had to get the official card from Official Poker. That's what Mahjong is. Every year the things be changing. And it's fascinating to me because there's like a lot of drama there, I think. Like, these people, like the sons of someone run it. I need to like fully read more about it, but there's like, I mean, it's just because it's becoming so big so fast. Like, oh, there's just so much there. If I had more bandwidth, I would probably report a story on it and like dive in, because I'm like, I gotta know more about this, but I don't. So I'm not gonna, but I am either gonna read a book or learn to play Mahjong even better. One of the two. One of the two. I don't know which one. What else was I going to talk to you guys about? No, I don't want to talk. I was going to talk about AI, but I don't really want to talk about AI. Whoever wants to talk about AI? I just am so annoyed with on Instagram how they're constantly prompting you to use AI to like put a fun hat on or like change your font into bubbles like that. Do we need that? Absolutely not. AI is fine when it's useful for things that we need and like when it helps our everyday life improve. But that's not improving my life. To like use it to like put a costume on, to like, oh, what would I look like if I'm underwater? Jump in a pool, okay? It's like the same thing. We like literally touch grass and not like make an image of you touching grass. That's just how I feel. We have more things to talk about after the break, which you're going to get into in a moment. I'm also pretty sure I talked about book club already, so I apologize if I have. But we're going to talk about some like big life goals, scheduling, growth, being an adult, all that stuff on the other side of the break. So stick around. I will see you soon. Okay, bye. We'll be right back. serious admission to make. I am completely over delivery food. It's expensive, it makes my tummy hurt, and it's never good. It's never good enough. It's never what I want it to be. And I get it. I do. Cooking takes a lot of time, and grocery shopping is stressful. But if you think you have to spend big bucks or tons of time in the kitchen to make delicious food at home, you don't, thanks to EveryPlate. Truly, it's like they're delivering home-cooked food to you. Best of both worlds. With EveryPlate, you get restaurant-level deliciousness week after week with recipes like crispy buffalo ranch chicken and cheesy Mexican street corn hash. The portions are huge, they're delicious, and because you don't have to do that dumb thing you usually do where you like buy an onion, just use a quarter of it, and then it rots away in your fridge reminding you of all the money you wasted, they prepackage ingredients, so there's absolutely no waste. You'll spend less on these flavor-packed homemade meals than you would on your normal groceries or even at a restaurant. And you even don't have to park at that cursed grocery store parking lot on Santa Monica in Fairfax. If you live in LA, you know what I'm talking about. It is misery. You won't get bored cooking the same things over and over either, thanks to EveryPlate's constantly rotating weekly recipes that take 30 minutes or less and are delivered right to your door. I love EveryPlate because I'm not a chef. I'm just pushing stuff around on a skillet. But their easy-to-read instructions have me accomplishing things in the kitchen I never thought I could have. And also keep me streamlined between deciding between all of the foods that exist in the world. There are too many options out there. But here with EveryPlate, there are just enough. Never again ask, what's for dinner? Because you're in charge, eating like you're at a restaurant, but you're the chef. So what are you waiting for? Dig into these flavor-packed meals your household will love. New customers can enjoy this special offer of only $1.99 per meal. Go to everyplate.com/podcast and use the code AMUSING199 to get started. Apply to discount on first box limited time only. That's everyplate.com/podcast. Use code AMUSING199. It finally happened. It finally happened. There is a cool breeze in the air in Los Angeles, which means winter is upon us. And if you, like me, are realizing now's the time to snag those layers that'll last you through this season and seasons in the years ahead, there's nowhere else to look but Quince. We all know about their $50 Mongolian cashmere sweaters, which, wow. But they've got so much more than that. We're talking denim that never goes out of style, silk tops and skirts that add pizzazz to your staples, and down outerwear built to take on the season no matter if you live in a town with actual winter or, like me, you're freezing when it drops to 60. Basically, Quince is your cheat code for looking like the chicest person in your office, classroom, or coffee shop. I recently needed some staples, mainly like a few neutral sweaters because I don't have any, and I loaded up on my seasonal must-haves with Quince because, duh, where else would I go? Their clothes are high quality and rival high-end brands without the high-end markups. Everything you need is right here on Quince, and it's even better than you can imagine. A champagne cream washable silk maxi skirt, red Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweater, and Italian leather strappy sandals? That's everything you would need to piece together different outfits this holiday season. And if you think you'll be cold in that getup, they've got Italian wool coats too. So step into the holiday season with layers made to feel good, looked polished, and last from Quince. Perfect for gifting or, honestly, keeping for yourself. Go to quince.com/amusing for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. If you can't make a decision like I can't, Quince is there for you. And it's now available in Canada too. That's quince.com/amusing to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/amusing. It's time to start bumping those tunes and burning those gingerbread candles because believe it or not, the holidays are right around the corner. And when you start planning your festive Thanksgiving and holiday meals and treats, let me let you in on your secret culinary weapon, frozen Washington red raspberries. They're a simple holiday hack that saves time in the kitchen without sacrificing flavor. No added sugars, no preservatives, just the ultimate shortcut to flavor, picked at peak ripeness and frozen within hours to lock in their bright, sweet tart taste. I'm getting ready to razz up my celebratory creations by planning a little festive mocktail with the little beauties. Because I'll be real with you, I am a last-minute girly, and having them on hand in the freezer is clutch for me when it comes to entertaining. When you buy American-grown frozen raspberries, you are getting fresh-off-the-field flavor all year round. These berries aren't a byproduct of fresh. They're crafted specifically to be frozen. That means better texture, better taste, and better results in your kitchen. Grown by passionate farmers in Washington State, they're frozen with care to ensure top quality and food safety. Plus, Frozen fruit lasts longer, helps cut food waste. If you've seen the bin in my refrigerator, you know what they're talking about. And is always ready when you are. Want to learn more details on where to find American-grown frozen red raspberries, plus recipe ideas and cooking tips? Head to redraz.org. That's redraz.org. Ooh, ZZ is fun to say out loud. You'll find participating retailers like Costco, Kroger, and Meijer, an inspiration for every meal. Plus info on how these berries go from farm to freezer with quality you can taste. And when you're out shopping, look for product of the U.S. on the bag. Or pick up some good stuff made with them, like the Kirkland Signature 3 Berry Blend at Costco, or even Smucker's Peanut Butter and Raspberry Uncrustables, all of which are made with frozen Washington red raspberries. Naturally delicious and always in season? That's the real gift this holiday season.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
Welcome back. And if you hear audible crying in the background, just please know that everything is okay in my household. As I mentioned, I am recording this on Halloween, and I may have hyped up Trick or Treat a little too much because my child could not sleep. She could not take a nap because all she could think about was trick or treating. And I think she started to get worried that we were going to go trick or treat without her, or she was going to miss it, which I completely understand. This is like the best kid holiday around. So she's not napping today. She's not napping today, but I'm only mentioning this because if you hear sound in the background, I promise she is fine. My husband is just tending to her at the moment because she couldn't wait. And I get it. Who wouldn't want to wake up and be a princess and eat a bunch of candy? Like, that's the best day ever. Her and I truly are the same. We're both the same. It's like, I don't want to rest. Take me to the party. I have FOMO. Like, we both have it so strongly. It's absolutely hilarious. Anyway, we are moving on from Halloween and kind of kicking it straight towards New Year's because I do this thing. I don't know if I always talk about it, but I kind of do this thing where in November, I start kind of, you know, I do. I kind of start my resolutions early. I do this because I think there's a lot of pressure and I can't handle it about like January 1st, this is my year. And then like if by January 7th, you know, it's a weird week. You like kind of have a holiday and then you're right back to work. You're right back to school. You're right back to like doing everything that you were doing before. It's a real like 0 to 180 kind of move. 0 to 60. Yeah, 180 is if you turn around halfway, 60 is if you're speeding up a car. It's very much like, whoa. And if you don't like stick to this brand new routine and goals immediately, you feel bad. And I don't like that. I really don't like that. So I often try to start in November. I think I talked about this last year on the podcast, I'm pretty sure. But I do like, I don't know, I like knowing that if I fail in November, I have that safety net of kind of retooling and starting again and working harder at the start of the year. Not that I ever follow through on a goal. I don't. But it is nice to like start things early so that you're not on that same pressure schedule that everyone else is. My real resolution this year is to stop being lazy. Like, duh, what else? It's kind of ruining my life. But we'll get to that in a second. Because my real resolution for 2026, and it is one that actually fits up with this November timeline, is that I am trying to be better at buying presents. I am horrible at buying presents. I overthink it. I think nothing is good enough. I worry that it's something someone won't like. I start to spiral and be like, oh no, does my friend have an allergy that I don't know about? I start to like truly panic because I have weirdly, since I've moved to LA, since I've become an adult, I've weirdly found myself among the best gift givers in the world. I can name over 10 friends who are unbelievable gift givers, like giving me things where my jaw is on the floor. I don't know how these people are so thoughtful and kind. I am very grateful. And I don't have that in my brain. And so for the past truly 2 to 3 years, I've been like, listen, I know I owe you a gift. I feel very bad about it. I just need to find something good enough to repay the good thing you have given me. I will find it one day, but I haven't found it yet. And I have a laundry list of people that really deserve something special that I haven't sourced yet. And so I am going to try, starting this holiday season, starting next year, to be much better about this. Where if I see something that makes me think of someone, I'm just buying it. I don't care if I'm like, do they even want this? Do they need a candle that smells like this? Do they need this tchotchke? I don't care. I'm buying it. because that's the way my friends operate. And I'm always like, no. I don't need it. It might be wasteful. They don't want it. No, I'm starting and I'm doing it. And I really hope that it makes me feel a little better, because I'm so bad at gifts and I'm really trying my best. And I know that I think we still have them as a sponsor on the podcast, Uncommon Goods. Y'all, I'm not like that ad I put so much effort into, because I mean every word that I'm saying. I mean, I do about every ad because I write them, the ones that I say out loud. But like that website, I'm buying everything. This is, again, something I really struggle with. And I went on there. I was like, oh, that's perfect for Heather. I'm getting that for my cousin. I'm going to get this. Like, they have the things. They make me feel like I'm not going insane. Like, I go to a regular store and I'm like, this is the same stuff. Everybody goes the same stuff. Here, you see stuff and you're like, oh, that's perfect for so-and-so. Like, it's really just shopping on a higher level of existence. You can get so much more done. I love that website. I'm so happy I partnered with them. And I truly will be spending so much money when I place all of my holiday orders. I already did a few orders, but I'm going in. I'm going in big. But to talk about the lazy thing, being lazy is kind of this through line in my life that I cannot escape. And it's not like I'm not big lazy. Like, I'm not never dropping my kid off at school on time. It's not like the big stuff. It's the little stuff. It's the chore that took me 5 minutes that I should have done a long time ago. Like, I had to reorganize a section of my closet, and like, it took a moment, and yet I just didn't want to do it. And I feel like the tiny things that I'm avoiding in my life have the biggest hold over me and are actually just representative of the discomfort that I have to deal with. Like, the days are so full of things I have to do, which we're going to talk about that momentarily. We're going to talk about scheduling because something big happened and we got to discuss it. But like, the days are just so full of wake up, send that email, feed yourself breakfast, got to get coffee. Like, there's just a list going down all the way until the end of the day of things you have to do. And when I get to nighttime, that is when everyone's like, oh, me time, self-care. But when it's nighttime, like after I cook and I sit and I eat, the last thing I want to do is start a 25-minute skincare routine. The last thing I want to do is do my 4 physical therapy exercises. And both of these things would improve my life in the long term for the better. But I just can't do it. And I know I posed a question on the podcast a while back about like, what would my future self do? Like, what ideal version of me, what would they do? What would they be doing in this scenario? And they would just be standing up and walking and doing their skincare. And while that mentality has gotten me through a lot of things, it's gotten me to really be better about work for the most part. There's some stuff I'm still really a mess with. It's gotten me better to finish the podcast on the deadline I actually set out to finish it at. But still, it's like these little things are just dragging me down. And it's hard. It's really hard to do the things that you know will be worth it in the future and not immediately. Like, if I have to run an errand, I run it, it's over. Here, it's like, so I'm just gonna do this physical therapy for like 3 months? It's like the long term of it is too hard for my brain to grasp. And it's been really hard, because the worst part is that I will like cook dinner. I'll be like, oh my gosh, what a long day of doing so many things. I'll sit down, I'll eat it, I'll open my phone. And it's all these people like, yelling at me about not doing better at the things I have to do. Like, I don't know if your algorithm is like this. I'm pretty convinced that my TikTok algorithm is designed to make me feel bad about myself. Like, I guess it's just what I do is that I watch these people and I'm like, oh, this is how you live your life? And then it just cascades. For a while, it was just women on walking pads, like on the little treadmills. It was just women on treadmills getting a lot of work done. That was my entire feed. And I'd watch these and be like, wow, they're drinking so much water and walking so much. And like, yeah, I'm bad at both of those things. And I just kept, my whole feed does that. I guess I know this is kind of a problem that I've created for myself, but still, it's like I'll open social media and I will be bombarded with people being like, tuck in, baby. We got 3 months to go till spring. Do you want to accomplish your to-do lists? Do you want to accomplish your goals? Do you want to make sure that your self-care routine is locked in? This is what we're going to do. And I'm like, I'm chemically imbalanced, you know? Like, I'm neurodivergent. And if you think I can get anything done in the end portion of the day, you are out of your freaking mind. Like, it is a miracle that is mostly fueled by science and coffee beans that I get anything done before 6 p.m. And then I'm supposed to cook myself food, eat it, and then be like, all right, time to exfoliate. No, like, I need to carve out a little bit of freedom. I need a little free time. And yet, And yet I know I should be doing these things and I just feel bad about it. And I'm kind of on the fence right now and I know this is a gab session. We're just going to go through it. We're going to talk about it. And I'm very curious if other people have been feeling this way. This duality of like, I know what I have to do. I'm responsible. I'm going to get it done. And then also being like, I don't know. It's just like people, I go online just because I want a break. Ooh, I want a little dopamine. Like, ooh, I want a little fun. Like, I want to be excited. And then I go online and it makes me feel bad that I am online. And it reminds me of the things I'm supposed to do. And it's just this never ending Ouroboros of like, oh, I have things to do, but I want a little fun. But then also it reminds me that I'm doing a bad job. And then I can't. And I'm not saying the phones are evil. I'm not at all. Like, I love my phone. I love my phone so much. My phone brings me so much joy. Like, it's like, I do feel bad for scrolling, but then again, I'm like, I learned so much on TikTok. I didn't know that the mall by my house is actually just basically some sort of, I don't want to call it a front, but behind it is oil drilling in my neighborhood. Like, I didn't know this. I watched this whole like investigative journalist do a thing on their phone about Cisco, the food supplier company, and there were other ones. Like, I'm on my phone learning. I'm on my phone congratulating friends who like finally got pregnant and I'm talking to them about their babies and about their families. Like, I'm here to hype up friends in the comments section. I'm connecting with people I wouldn't know otherwise. Phone isn't always bad, you know? And people are like, put down your phone, go do your face mask, go do your bath. Like, no. Sometimes phone is good. Phone is not all nonsense. And it's just hard to balance everything. And I guess the point that I'm trying to get to, because this is a little long-winded and I'm kind of losing the thread because I think the sugar high is crashing and I'm doing my best. But I came across this video and I even wrote it down to talk about it. It is from this person, John Paul Dombrowski. And they basically said, which is not a phrase private to them, I've seen other people say this, but they said, how you live your day is how you live your life. And then they posed, what would your dream day be? As this like informative exercise about how to build your life. What would your dream day be? How can your life be like your dream day? Because if your dream day, if you do everything perfectly, that's the pattern you need. Neuroplasticity. You got to change your behaviors to change your life. Like all this stuff. And I'm sitting here looking at this video being like, are you joking? Because for a lot of people, that makes a lot of sense. Like, you make your dream day. This is my dream schedule. I wake up at this time. I go to the gym and then I have a coffee. I shower. I go to work. This is my ideal day. For me, someone whose brain functions the way it does, I'm like, okay, my dream day would be I wake up at 10 a.m. I have a bottomless bowl of frozen Cool Whip with berries for breakfast. Then I watch about 6 hours of television. Then a friend comes over and we watch a movie on the couch. Then we say, should we go get popcorn? And then we drive to the AMC just to get popcorn and walk around the mall. And then I spend like 4 hours with my child in the afternoon hanging out. And then I go out at night for a Grey Goose martini with a twist. Like, that to me is my dream day. Do you know what got done in that day? Nothing. My dream day does not involve work, responsibility, taking care of myself. I'm taking care of a person because I genuinely like spending time with Pearl. But like, I would be eating a bag of white sugar with a spoon if I was having a dream day. Like, I would never eat a vegetable. It's like, you have to be responsible. I don't know if anybody else lives like this. Maybe I have bad impulse control, but I'm kind of like, in my dream day, I'm chilling with my friends. I'm having a real Sunday, you know? Maybe I'm eating a Sunday on a Sunday. I'm having a good time. I'm not doing anything for my longevity, anything to make my life healthier, to keep myself healthy, to keep me from my tummy issues happening. I'm not going to the dentist. I'm not doing anything. I'm not doing returns. I'm pushing everything off to another day. And I just can't get over that like, yeah, a lot of people function in a way and I am different. And I want to flag that for anybody who feels the same, that like, I function differently than most people. And when I think you live in an ADHD head, and if you have executive function, if your brain doesn't work like this, you may not know, this may be different to you. But like, for me, I don't function the same way as other people. So I'm saying this as a reminder to me, but mostly to anyone who feels this way, where if you go on your feed and people are like locking in, wrapping up 2025, getting it done, we don't function the same way, okay? So if you've been feeling bad, don't feel bad, because I've been feeling bad and I'm trying to not feel bad either. And the thing, I promise there's a point. The point that this is all coming to, even though again, like, I too am like, I gotta go trick or treat, my brain is not functioning. The thing I wanna stress to you is that I think I have hacked the ADHD solution for scheduling. I really think I have figured out how to get the most done with the brain that I have. Because if you Like, if you are neurodivergent like I am, you probably also have time blindness. Time, when your brain functions like this, you don't view time the same way other people do. Time isn't a pool with clear barriers and borders. Like, you know where the edge of the pool is. For me and for many others, time is like the ocean. It just goes on it goes on and on and on until eventually you hit land. Like, there is no end. That is how I function with time. I have time until, boom, it's like, it's time to go. I have a meeting. I have a call. I have to go to an appointment. Like, that time just floats on until there is a hard stop, until you reach land again. But I've tried something new the past week, and I think it's solving most of my problem. And it's going to sound so stupid at the beginning, and just trust me, just listen to the whole thing. I promise it's going to sound so stupid. Don't laugh at me. I am now using Google Calendar in a way that works for me. And I know it sounds dumb, but for me, it's a new approach to scheduling because I function out of a to-do list. I have to-do lists written on paper, and then I'll transfer it to a to-do list written in my email. I cannot functionally keep track of the things I have to do. And I realized that if I assign every individual task to a certain period of time, I don't just have work. I don't just work from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. If I actually assign every single thing I have to do, and I'm talking everything, in a calendar, but I don't have to look at the to-do list, it's all in like the notes of the workday, then I get everything done and I'm never overwhelmed. I know it sounds so basic. It sounds really straightforward, but let me explain it to you because there's at least four people out there who this is going to be game-changing for. So I never really use a digital calendar because to me, I'm like, I don't have a real job. Like, I don't have Slack, you know? Like, I don't have coworkers in the natural sense. There's no reason I need to be looking at all this text calendar. So when I look at my month, it looks horrifying and grotesque and I don't see anything I understand. But then I go into like the 4-day a week. And what I've done is that I color code everything. I have color code for work, for appointments, for my shared calendar with Ben. So like anything with Pearl, with our family, anything we have to do. I have a color for exercise, which I call movement because I feel like that's more, it's more like sumptuous movement. And I have everything color coded. So when I look at my day, and this is the kicker, when I look at my day, I put in a little block for when I'm driving or for when I'm going between things so that I leave enough time for me to do the things I have to do, leave time to get ready before an event that I put in there. But the work section, like the work I have to do, is there, but it's hidden. So for example, let's do the day this podcast comes out. That's fun. So I'm looking at my schedule. I have a 10 a.m. workout class. From 11 to 11:30, I'm driving. And then from 12 to 3, I'm working. But when you look at my calendar, all I see is exactly where I have to be when. And the color-coded calendar tells me where my body needs to be. The notes inside the block tell me where my brain needs to be. So from 12 to 3 or 12 to 2:45, whatever this is, that says work from home. I know I have to work, period. I just look at this. I'm not overwhelmed by the things I have to do. I know I have to work. It's fine. But then I click into that box. And in the description is a list of all the exact tasks I have to do, all the exact portions of the podcast I have to record, all of the Q&As that I have to prep because we got some interviews coming. Every task I have to do is scheduled out. It's assigned. My to-do list is broken up into little chunks and assigned outwards. I don't even have to look at it, but I know it's already been assigned to something. And then when the day comes, I click on it and everything's in there. When I'm looking at my schedule, I don't see it. And the amount of ease this has brought me cannot be put into words. I am so much less stressed than I used to be. I used to look at my to-do list and be like, I can't prioritize this because I literally need a birthday gift for this person. I have to call and reschedule this appointment and I need to turn in a podcast episode. All of those things need to be done. When am I supposed to do them? Like, if they're all urgent, if they all have to be done, what order do I do them in? Like, then the podcast will take more time than I anticipate because of the time blindness and I'll get it all done. But if I need to record I just need to record a quick outro for this episode, that's 30 minutes for me usually. It takes me a while to sit down and be like, oh, I gotta plug the mic in. Like, truly, it takes me too long. But if I have a 30-minute block in here between things that I would usually dilly-dally that time, if I have a little block that says, dude, you gotta record this right now, I'll get it done. And I've been getting it done. Right now is proof of that. It's Halloween! You think I would get any work done on a normal Halloween? Nah, dude, I'd be pillaging Pearl's candy that she got at school. I would just be chowing down on gummy bears, hanging out, being like, it's Halloween, I'm gonna watch a silly movie. But I planned out 2 weeks in advance, and I knew today was the best day to record so I could turn the podcast in early so I could be ready to go. And it worked. It really worked. So if you function like I do in the world, which is like a little ambiguously, and you feel like you need an easy solution to get things done, try this. I cannot swear by it enough. And I have tried every schedule, every calendar, every notebook, every to-do list apps. I used to like write out on a sheet of paper. I would have a manual to-do list that I would have every single day, paper notes. Like I had everything. And I can't even tell you the grasp I have on life right now is wild. And what also, like, I don't know why I never thought visualizing my schedule was the key. But now that I see this, I was putting my schedule together for the next 2 weeks. And I was like, oh, you know what? I'm going to be on the other side of town and I have 2 hours free. I should make plans with a friend then, which is something that I have not mentally been able to put together ever. Like I just, again, I don't see time. And color coding it and looking at it like this and being like, oh, if I work, maybe I can start out work an hour later and then fit that appointment in there. It has changed my life. It has truly changed my life and I can't recommend it enough. If you have any questions about this, just let me know. I hope I'm explaining it correctly. But that brings me back to like ignoring the low grade responsibilities that will better my life. Because I'm hoping if this takes all of the other kind of stress and anxiety and like, oh, I have so much to do, I'm bursting at the seams. If scheduling everything out this way just instantly has made most of that go away, I bet those little things that I need to do for 30, 45 minutes at night, once like my schedule is kind of automatic, for someone like me to have an automatic schedule, that's a bananas thing to say. I never thought I'd be here. I think it will fall into place more because I do strongly believe that those little things that are keeping you, like cleaning your office, cleaning out your car, those little things that take 5-10 minutes to fix, that just take a little bit of more effort to fix, I do think that is the key to like changing your life into fully functioning. And I am resisting. I'm eating my fruit rind at night. And I'm like, I don't want to do my face right now. My skin is so dry. My skin is Catino, okay? Like the quality of my skin right now is desert community built by Disney and it needs to be fixed. I have been out of serums for weeks. I have nothing. Like I'm desperate for new skincare and I just don't want to do it. I just don't want to order it. I just can't get over the hump. Don't want to order it. Don't want to wear a face mask. Don't want to do it. But if everything else is not complicated, I do think I can finally get those last pieces done and it won't feel like, oh, it's like the cherry on top of Stress Mountain. It's just a cherry that I get to snack on from somebody else's Shirley Temple. Like it really, I think, will be much easier. I've been gabbing a lot and I know it's a gab sesh, but I think I'm done. I think I'm all gabbed out. I hope this was fun. I know we covered a lot of random stuff, but the scheduling thing I think is important because there's a small crew of us, smallish, who listen to the podcast. I include myself in the small crew of people who I think are on the same wavelength as me when it comes to productivity and trying to balance life and maybe your brain operating a little differently, things like that. And I just wanted to make sure that I hear all of you and I see all of you and we are in it together. And hopefully this will help. I also quit my co-working space. It's kind of huge for me. I took some time off of it and I went back. And not to get too into it, the health stuff, but I can't really work out the way I was working out previously. I have to work out a little differently, a little lighter. I'm just not pushing myself the way I was before until all this stuff is healed. I'm fine. I'm just waiting. I'm just trying to figure out what it is. That place was truly something I needed when Pearl was young and I needed to get out of the house. And now I'm like, you know what? I love my kid and I want to see her. And if someone's going to pester me during my workday, I'd rather have it be my beautiful child than a person sitting next to me who cannot stop shaking their hands or their legs. Everyone's like tapping along to music the whole time. I couldn't focus there. I was done. I'm done with it. And it's been freeing. It's been very freeing and I'm very happy about it. The last thing I wanted to tell you about, listen, I just got to say it. I went to Fort Wilderness the other week, which, you know, Lakeside Lodge is like right there. Like I know you know from the layout of Walt Disney World, but like I'm at Pioneer Hall, I'm at Hoop Dee Doo Review, I'm looking up, I'm in a construction site. Like it is on the butt of Fort Wilderness in a way I did not anticipate. So just keep that in mind the next time you go. Like the views are of the back of the hotel. I hope the way it's designed will kind of meld in, but it does kind of take away from the charm of that area, Fort Wilderness, so far. I'm hoping the final product won't, but I feel like it was a bit of a jump scare, and I wanted to make sure you knew because I did not know, and it really kind of freaked me out. Okay, that's it. This was a weird one. This was a weird one, wasn't it? Just a lot of random stuff, but yeah, it's Halloween and I'm in a silly mood. We will be back next week with an episode I'm so excited about. It's Japan related. So stay tuned. We actually, and again, to go back to the calendar, if you don't believe me that this has changed my life, let me tell you what the calendar has done for me. I have scheduled out every single episode through mid-January. We've never done that. I'm not organized. And yet I not only know like when every episode is going to be for the next, even beyond that, honestly, I know what every episode is locked. Usually we have like a soft outline and move things around. Locked, baby, locked in. And not only that, I know for almost all of them when I'm recording. I know when I'm recording the interviews, when I'm prepping the interviews, when I'm finalizing the interviews, when I'm editing the interviews. I have never scheduled out that meticulously in my life, and it is changing the game for me. I'm truly like so delighted that the podcast is kind of, the scheduling is just done. It's just done. So now you're just going to have podcasts every week except for the holidays. I'm going to take a couple weeks off of the holidays. It was originally going to be three, but I think I'm going to do two. Just going to do, I think it's on Christmas is one of the days. And then like January 1st is kind of almost the same day. It's like, why don't I just look at a calendar. I'm probably going to take off two for the holidays. There's so many windows open. See, you can take the girl out of the neurodivergent brain space, but you can't take her out of her many, many windows. We are probably going to skip December 24th, which is Christmas, and Christmas Eve, and then December 31st, which is New Year's Eve, the double Eves. I'm probably going to come back on the 7th. So yeah, we're probably going to take those 2 weeks off. The 17th might be a lighter episode. We'll see. But yeah, everything's scheduled out. I'm like an organized person now. I'm like functioning. It's wild, bro. It's really bananas. I can't believe it has all changed for me. And it just was like, what if I put my to-do list behind a brick of purple and then I just don't have to stare at all the things that are haunting me all the time? Heaven, baby. It's great. I'm going to wash my face tonight. I'm going to think of all of you. I'm really going to do it. I mean, yeah, I'm going to do it. Yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it while watching my little shows. Ooh, I hope there's a new... Ooh, I hope there's a Halloween special. Okay. Hope you all have a great first week of the holiday season. Thank you for listening. And okay, love you. Bye. Tell me more of what you got for Deals, Deals, Deals.
Well, of course, DCL, Disney Cruise Line, is still offering their 50% off their deposit that's due at time of booking. So that's a really good one if you're kind of strapped for cash right now, but you really want to get a good gift for your family. You can get 50% off the deposit. And that's for cruises between March 2026 and even into May 27th. So you got a little bit there. If you're... Perfect vacation includes a pineapple and an umbrella. Then you've got something at Alani because they are having their 25% off stays up to 5 nights or longer. And that is for most nights, January 4th, all the way to April 9th.
Ooh.
So another great idea to go and hang out with your family in a wonderful location. Now, remember when I was saying those Black Friday sales?
Yeah.
Here's one really quick. It's coming up right now. You can book by December 8th. And this is actually Celebrity Cruise Lines. You can save up to 75% off the second guest, believe it or not, or 50% off their second guest for the refundable fares, and the non-refundable fares are 75. So guess what, too? Free third, fourth, and fifth guest on their Black Friday sale.
Oh, everybody's coming.
I know. And imagine this. This is just one supplier, and they're now just starting to roll out these Black Friday sales, so keep your eye on them. Last but not least, we have an exclusive offer for Royal Caribbean, up to $100 onboard credit for staterooms that are booked by December 8th of this year, and that is valid on sailings that are all through 2026.
Oh my gosh.
I know. You can cruise, you can go to Alani, you can sip on a pineapple, you can have a great time in Walt Disney World, all at discounted rates.
Wow. Becky, thank you so much for blessing us with these discounts. And I can't wait to hear what's ahead if this is what we got now.
I know. Again, watch those Black Friday sales because that's going to be a key.
I love you, MEI Mouse Fan Travel.
Back at you.
Support for this podcast is brought to you by Walden University. Ever catch yourself thinking, what if I could go after what I actually want and really make a difference? You're not alone, and that's exactly why I want to tell you about Walden University. For over 50 years, Walden has helped working adults like you get the W with the knowledge and skills to build the future you want and make a difference where it matters most. If you've been waiting for the right moment, this is it. Head to waldenu.edu and take that first step. Walden University, set a course for change, certified to operate by CHEV.
Hi, Carly. This is Michelle from Maine. And as a high school history teacher, I'm not sure I ever thought I would say this, but I think I need some justice for Germany. I just listened to your Ranking World Showcase episode, and I have to say, when it comes to the Germany Pavilion, I can't believe that you forgot the little miniature train village. Both of my boys were absolutely obsessed. They're 5 years apart from each other, but each time they went on their first trip, leaving that train village area was literally like pulling teeth because they were mesmerized. And it's even better because they change out the little figures and the decorations during each holiday season. And it's just an absolute peaceful little treat that is perfect for all ages. So I really think that you need to reconsider giving Germany just a little bit more credit because it deserves it. Thanks. Bye.
Listen, I tell you guys to call me out, and this is the perfect example of it. So thank you, Michelle. And also, a high school history teacher, listen, anything you were going to say after that, I was like, I was seated. I was ready. I was tucked in. I was like, okay, you're a professional. You're extremely smart, and you shape the minds of the future. So I need to take this call seriously. And I see what you're saying, and I want to agree, but for me, okay, the thing that kind of separates this out is like the train not giving the Germany Pavilion a boost. I'm thinking way too much about this, and I apologize from the get-go. But for me, like, the train is a fun addition to the pavilion, and I'll take the L. I did forget. even though I was quite literally looking at it with my friends about a week ago. We were like, oh, the train. Yeah, we love it. To me, that could hypothetically exist anywhere. To me, it doesn't strike me as extremely specific to the Germany Pavilion. Something like the landscaping in the Canada Pavilion, I think, stands out differently because that is reminiscent of a certain place in Canada. The train set here, I know it has German cultural ties, but to me, it could, like, that could be somewhere else too. And I don't know if that is the hill I want to stand, not the hill I want to die on, whatever the phrase is. I don't know, but I'm staying with the score. And Germany had a really good score, in my defense. It had 3.5 out of 5 for details, 5 for dining, and 2 for stuff to do. And I don't know if train would fall into stuff to do or details, but like train is, I don't know. I don't think I can give it a 0.5 boost for the train. I'm sorry. Trains are important, and I know people love trains. I love trains too, but I don't know. I'm so sorry, but I hear your call, and I see what you're saying, and I agree that it is extremely compelling, but the train just doesn't do it for me. It's not the same as like the delicate inlaid Moroccan tile or some of the other features or a live acrobat or live music. To me, the train is just, wow. Oh my God. I'm never going to live down talking about the train like this. I'm so sorry. I know it's captivating, but I stand by my scores. I'm sorry. I appreciate you and all that you do. But while I do understand that the train is popular, I'm giving Germany the score that it got. Thank you for calling. I am horrified. I'm so sorry. Please don't hate me. I love you. Bye. Okay, I'm back. But then again, there is a Walt Disney connections to trains. And so it is like pretty cool that there is a train in there that they have outside of the pavilion. But also, it's not as strong as the decorative elements that they have inside the Beer Carton restaurant. So yeah, I'm sticking with my score. Okay, I came back to bargain and to, because I feel really bad. I feel really bad. You work so hard and I'm telling you no, but okay, I'm staying with the score. Thank you for calling. I'm really sorry. I hope you still listen to the podcast after this. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, bye. That's our show. Thank you all so much for listening to this silly little Gab Sesh episode. You can rate, review, and follow us on Apple Podcasts, and rate and follow and comment about our podcast on Spotify. I finally figured out how to comment back because if I go on my own Spotify, I can't I can comment, but I can't write back to you. I can't reply. And I figured out there's like a Spotify for podcasters thing. Basically, long story short, I figured out on the back end how to respond to you. So please keep those comments coming. It's very fun now that I have figured out truly the lowest bar of technology. Like, truly, I knew technology for so long, and I guess I am now quote unquote old because I couldn't get it done, but I figured it out, and now I'm happy to chat with you. Leave us a rating or a review if you haven't already, and if you have, which many, many of you have, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It really helps people find out about the podcast, so I thank you. I thank you deeply, and I would reply that to you in a comment if I could, now that I know. Also, I don't know if you hear, but the second I started recording, there's some leaf blowing happening outside. I guess it is fall. Okay, I hope that doesn't interrupt this recording. Anyway, you can give us a call at 747-CHURROS, and please do. I love getting your calls. I'm happy to answer truly any question. Like, I feel like sometimes people are worried their questions are too small. If you're like, I am going to Epcot on this night, which restaurant of these two should I do? Or, hey, I have a night without the parks in between hitting up these two bars. What are your thoughts? Like, let me be the decision maker. And also, if you want me to like low-key choose your thing, if you're in a battle with friends or a partner or family, like, listen, I got your back, okay? I'll help settle the dispute and make sure you go somewhere tasty and fun, because that is my job. And if you are planning a trip to a Disney park, a Universal park, a cruise line, Adventures by Disney, any of that, please reach out to MEI Mouse Fan Travel. They help support our podcast. They help make very amusing, I was going to say put it on the air, but like we're just on our phones. We're not really listening to traditional radio anymore. But please reach out to them for everything. They will help you for free. They will help you for free. It's just, they're kind of like me, except they can like actually book things and pay attention to detail, and they have executive function. So I guess they're like if I was good at life. And they're completely free, just like we are. But I love them. I adore them. Head to mousefantravel.com/amusing. Amusing. Ooh, I don't even know how to say my podcast. mousefantravel.com/amusing to plan your trip. As you can tell, I needed a coffee. I'm recording this at 2 p.m. I'm like just over the line. It's too late to have coffee, and I probably should have. I probably should have done it because I feel loopy dupes. And if you want more of this brand of chaos, that's a good transition, kids. Follow me at Carly Wiesel across the internet and join the FOMALY at facebook.com/groups/CarlyWiesel. And if you want a little more chaos, just a little bit more, for 99 cents a month on Instagram, you can be a subscriber. It's basically like close friends, but it costs 99 cents a month. And I post all the time. I do trip recaps, which we have a big one coming up. I do Q&As after, so I can like answer all of your questions so they don't get lost in the shuffle. I really love it. I love having a little extra bonus place to put stuff. And it's a nice little community over there. So give it a shot. 99 cents a month. That's like nothing. I paid a meter today for 45 minutes. That was more than that. So we would love to have you on Instagram at Carly Wiesel. Thank you. I needed that coffee. Thank you so much for listening. No, thanks so much for listening. Okay, I'm getting a cappuccino. Screw it. Thanks so much for listening. See you real soon.
Hey, sweetie, it's Mom. I know it's the correct way to say it, but hearing you say caramel kuka makes me think I'm sticking with the old way. I can't do it. I can't say it. But I still don't think I'm saying it right. But starting with Canada, yay, my maple popcorn. Oh, my God, my favorite, especially when it's hot. In my defense, okay, I bought three of the smalls of the Canadian maple popcorn. It was so hot. They just made it. I had to buy three. You went to the bathroom knowing you would never let me buy three of them. We enjoyed two of them, and I brought the last one home the next day on the plane. And I did take a picture of my tray on the plane, and it had a double chocolate chip cookie from Gideon's and my Canadian maple popcorn and a Coke. Best plane ride ever. I was so enjoying myself. Okay, wait, what, the cast of Schitt's Creek is hosting an Epcot attraction? I love that show. How come I don't know about this? This is like now the top of my list when you ask me, so what do you want to do at Epcot? This is it. I'm telling you right now. And by the way, the Creation Shop that you never let me spend more than 15 minutes in is the best shop. It's huge. It has everything, and I like to look at everything in there. It is my favorite store. Okay, the pavilion with John Stamos telling the story of Christmas and meeting him after the show because of you. for about 15 minutes was a moment in my life I will never forget. The level of entertainment at the Pavilion is so, so great, and I love John Stamos, and I also like the designer bags that they sell. But I give the Pavilion the highest level ranking. The Pavilion is my number one spot for me. I don't know if you agree, but that's it. Jan, who called in from Burbank. Hi, Jan. I agree you should take your family to Epic Universe. You have to see it. The Harry Potter area blew me away, and I don't want to give too much away, but it was so amazing to walk around in the Harry Potter land, and they have a candy shop there that fresh candy you can buy by the piece, but I think your daughter or son would love that. Having a postcard painted for you with your family is a great keepsake to have and save. And yes, I did enjoy the Yoshi ride, and it was fun, and we did it at night when it was all lit up. But my favorite thing of the entire day at night was the carousel ride. The horses spin. I've never been on that before where they spin. This was so cool and so fun, and the carousel lit up at night felt like magic. I hope you have a great time and enjoy. Great episode, honey. I love you, Carly. I love you, Pearl. And you had to bring up John Stamos. Yes, I still love you, John Stamos. Bye-bye.